if we lived in first century Jerusalem, and if we happened to be at the temple on the day when the Holy Family showed up, we would not notice anything special or unusual. It was common for women to submit to the required ritual of purification 40 days after giving birth to a son. That was simply part of the law. It's right in the book of Leviticus. That's why another name for this feast, aside from what we call it, the presentation of the Lord, another name is the purification of the Blessed Virgin Mary. So lots of women underwent this purification ritual and presented or dedicated or consecrated their sons to the Lord. If this particular family, Joseph, Mary, and Jesus, the 40-day-old baby Jesus, if they stood out at all, it would be because they were poor. Because the standard offering for purification of a mother, of a male baby, was sacrifice of a lamb. But if a family was too poor to afford a lamb, well, then they could get away with offering two pigeons. Dalawang kalapati. And that's what the Holy Family did. They offered the two pigeons. We shouldn't miss the irony, though, because they actually did bring a sacrificial lamb. They brought to the temple the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. But by appearances, they were no more than poor, simple, law-abiding Jews dedicating their firstborn to the Lord. But the church knows there's much more going on here, and the church invites us to reflect on this feast in a way that a casual observer would not be able to. That's why this feast is celebrated the way it is. It's so important that when February 2nd falls on a Sunday, it takes the place of the usual Sunday liturgy. This feast is also considered a kind of last word of the Christmas season. It's also a kind of midpoint between Christmas and Lent. 40 days ago was Christmas, and then we begin Lent in a little over 30 days from now. So we're in the middle. Another sign that this feast or this event is special is that it's included among the mysteries of the Rosary. The presentation is the fourth joyful mystery. Well, why is this ordinary event in the life of a poor Jewish family so important? Because this is no ordinary family and this is no ordinary child. We can't simply say, well, Jesus didn't do anything because he was only a little baby. No, he did exactly what babies do. And not only that, he did much more than that. He did what the Lord does. This was the first arrival of the Lord in his temple. That's why we sang in the psalm, here's the King of Glory. Here's the King of Glory. He's finally arrived in his home. So that's what we're celebrating. Now, the first one to realize that there was something special going on, aside from Joseph and Mary, who of course knew that Jesus was the Lord, the first one to realize it was an old man, Simeon, who's at the heart of this gospel I just read. He's described as righteous and devout. We would probably say he was holy. And he was awaiting the consolation of Israel, which means he was waiting for the Messiah. The consolation of Israel is biblical language for the Messiah. Because when the Messiah comes, he's going to console, he's going to restore, he's going to redeem, save everyone. And we're told that the Holy Spirit had revealed to Simeon that he would see the Messiah before he died. Now, we don't know how long Simeon waited for this promise to be fulfilled. We don't know how old he was when the Lord told him that, or when the Holy Spirit told him that, and we don't know how old he was when it finally took place. But the tradition is that Simeon waited for a long time. He waited in faith for a long time, knowing God was faithful, knowing that he would see the Messiah. And the tradition is that he was very old by the time the promise was actually fulfilled, something like Abraham in the Old Testament, our father in faith. We also don't know what Simeon really expected or how he expected the promise to be fulfilled. because the common expectation of the Jews at that time was that when the Messiah would come, he would come in power, like a new King David, and he would take over. He would overthrow the foreign oppressors, and he would gather together all the scattered tribes of Israel. That Simeon recognized that this poor baby boy was actually the Messiah that he had been waiting for all these years, that he recognized him is itself an amazing thing. And the gospel says that even Joseph and Mary were amazed that Simeon understood so much. Okay, now since Simeon is such a key figure here, let's reflect on two aspects of his experience at the presentation of the Lord. The two that I want to focus on is his identification of Jesus as light, and secondly, his recognition of Mary's connection with the mission of this child. So something about light, something about Mary. First of all, Jesus as light. We know Jesus is the light of the world. He himself said it. In fact, he said it right in the temple, the very same temple that we're reflecting on today. But that was 30, maybe more than 30 years later. At this point, when he's 40 days old, he doesn't look like the light of the world. This was something that Simeon saw, not just with his eyes, but with the eyes of faith. His soul was enlightened by the Holy Spirit. And he was given the privilege of knowing who Jesus really is. So he takes the child into his arms. You can imagine this, holding the child Jesus and knowing that this was the Messiah. That's why the Orthodox churches call Simeon the God receiver. The God receiver. So Mary's the God bearer, right? The Theotokos. And then Simeon is the God receiver. Anyway, so he's holding the child Jesus, and he makes this profound prayer to the Lord, which is also a prophecy. What does he say? Now, Lord, you may let your servant go in peace. Is it to say, now I can die in peace? Now your promise has been fulfilled. For my eyes have seen your salvation. My eyes have seen the light for revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. So this is what he says. My eyes have seen the light for revelation to the Gentiles, light. Part of why this is a very striking insight is that the Jews were not expecting the Messiah, for the most part. They were not expecting the Messiah to come for the Gentiles. He was going to come for the chosen people. But Simeon realizes that this child, this Messiah, has come for all people, and that's amazing. It's a revelation, and it's also good news for us today because we're included among all people. Okay, well, what does Mary, that's the first point, that Simeon recognizes the light of the world. The second point to reflect on here is Mary. What does Mary really have to do with this? Yes, she's the mother, and she's carrying her child into the temple. In fact, this is part of the reason why this feast features the blessing and the carrying of candles. We had that ceremony at the beginning of the Mass, the blessing of the candles, because Mary carries this light that I just spoke about into the temple. She's a light bearer, and that's symbolically represented by carrying a candle. You see a big image of Our Lady of Candelaria over here. She's carrying a very big candle in one hand, and in the other hand, she's carrying the 40-day-old baby Jesus. You can see her over there. So this is Our Lady of Candelaria. Okay, so is that all there is to Mary, that she's just carrying around the Lord Jesus? No, actually there's more to it. The mission of saving the nations is that belongs to Jesus. That's very clear. He's the only savior of the world. But listen to what Simeon says about her, guided by the Holy Spirit now. He says something that reveals that Mary is not just a carrier, she's a participant. He says this. First of all, he says to Mary, this child is destined for the fall and rise of many in Israel and to be a sign that will be contradicted. So the people of Israel, some of them will reject the light and remain in darkness. That's the fall. Some of them will accept this light. That's the rise. And some they'll be divided about this child. He's a sign that will be contradicted. And you yourself, he's pointing to Mary now, you yourself, a sword will pierce. The translation we had wasn't exactly accurate. It really says, a sword will pierce your own soul. A sword will pierce your own soul so that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. Well, this mention of a sword is a prophecy of how Mary will participate in the passion of Jesus, her son. She's going to suffer a sword. Now, it's not a literal sword. There's nothing in the Bible that says Mary was stabbed or anything like that. But she was pierced with the sword of sorrow. That's why we call her Our Lady of Sorrows, because she was pierced by sorrow when she was standing at the foot of the cross and experiencing Jesus being pierced. This prophecy, by the way, made when Jesus was 40 days old, is fulfilled at the cross. And St. John's Gospel tells us Mary was there at the cross. And but Simeon adds these very mysterious words about revealing the thoughts of many hearts. What is this all about? Well, it indicates that Mary's sufferings, her sorrows, will benefit others, will somehow allow light, this light of Christ, to shine on the thoughts, on the minds, on the hearts of others. This actually refers to us, by the way. Simeon's prophecy refers to us. We're the ones whose thoughts are being enlightened because of Mary's being pierced in her soul. How does the light of Christ come to us? Well, when we are in darkness, when we are struggling or we're in deep sorrow, or we feel like we have been abandoned by God, or we feel like we've been pierced, we're not alone. Mary, our sorrowful mother, is with us. She suffers with him, but she also suffers with us, this sorrowful mother, so that our hearts can benefit from the saving work of Jesus. You see, it's no guarantee that we will benefit from the light. Some fall, some rise. He's a sign of contradiction. This light of Christ is also a very challenging, sometimes painful light. How can we endure it? The first reading said, who's going to endure it when the Lord comes and purifies the temple and purifies the people? Who can endure it? Well, Mary can endure it, and she helps us endure it. By her sorrows, by the sword that pierces her soul, the thoughts of many hearts are revealed or are enlightened, uncovered. So this is just something that shows how profound this feast is and why we celebrate not only Jesus as the light, but why we celebrate Our Lady of Candelaria, the light bearer, who is also the one who allows us to become light bearers. That's why we carry candles today. Okay, so that's what I like to reflect on. Simeon reminds us on this joyful feast of the presentation of the Lord. He reminds us that we are no longer in darkness, that we're no longer trapped by the darkness of sin or death or sorrow, for the light of the world has come. And he also reminds us that we're not alone when our soul is pierced with sorrow, the sword of sorrow. Mary, our mother, Our Lady of Sorrows, Our Lady of Candelaria, is with us.